Good morning. This is Daniel King with Daily Inspiration. Just like to continue this morning with Judges chapter. Actually, it's Judges chapter 8, maybe, but it's the story of Gideon. Sometimes the fascination of a person's life and in its beginning or in the beginning can be sort of highlighted, and we forget to see how a person walked it out on the long run. I do often appreciate how the Bible just states things just as they are, and just to recognize that people throughout history have always been people. In other words, people seem to have their strengths and weaknesses in life, and it seems like, especially in the Old Testament, it seems like there was a measure of the Holy Spirit that they did not have then like we do now. And what had happened here with Gideon, one of the positive things that I'd like to point out is it seemed that as long as Gideon was alive, he had a respect or a way to influence the children of Israel that was very positive, because it says that as long as he lived, there was basically the children of Israel were doing well. I can't point to... Oh, yeah. So it's Judges chapter 8, verse 33. It says, "And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal their god." And I find that fascinating to observe there that when Gideon pulled down his father's idols and had that victory over the Midianites, he seemed to have, somehow he was able to influence the people to continue following the Lord. And I can imagine with the victory that he had that there was a high respect for him. And he had something like 70 sons, and Gideon had 70 sons. Apparently he had many wives, but appears like he was an influential man. But there is one thing that I'd like to point out, that it seemed like Gideon had a weakness, which is very common with people. It follows people that have done amazing things for the Lord, and I notice these things throughout history, that people who have been a part, or if their lives have played a part in a major revival for the good, of course, it seems like there's a certain temptation that lays before them that many, unfortunately, have fallen. Now, I say this not to say that that's how things always go, but I think these things are written for our edification. So the way things worked here with Gideon is, after he had this victory, he became so popular that the people wanted to make him king over Israel. And he denied their request. But he did ask one thing, and that is he asked for all the gold that they took off of the Midian soldiers. Apparently the Midians had a custom that most of the soldiers had golden earrings and sometimes chains around their necks and even golden chains around their camels' necks. And so when they had this battle and won this victory over the Midianites, there was a whole bunch of gold that they collected off of the men and their camels and so on. And each each person sort of collected their own. And then when Gideon said, okay, I won't be your king, but there is one thing that I'll ask for, and that is I'd like to have all the gold from the Midianites. And he had this big blanket that he laid out, and everyone walked past the blanket and threw in the golden earrings and everything that they had on the blanket, and it actually was a big pile of gold. And what he did with his gold is he made an image of, or an ephod, and I'm not exactly sure what the shape was, if it was a shape. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city. This is Judges 8:27. Even in Ophrah. And it says then that all Israel went a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. And then it says, kind of as a summary, and thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So apparently Gideon had a few things there, a few bad choices, but in the midst of it all, he seemed to maintain his walk with the Lord and was able to continue to influence Israel for the Lord. And then, of course, we see Gideon in Hebrews there in the faith chapter as someone that is lifted up as a man of God. But it does seem that there's a few things there that Gideon did that put almost like a curse on his life in perhaps a small way, but nevertheless it was something that was not good. And so then also what happened is after he died, there was one of his sons that was born to a concubine that wanted to become king, and apparently his sons were looking at, you know, they had obviously grown up being used to being on the top, so to speak, because they were the sons of Gideon. But after Gideon died, one of his sons, the one that was born to this concubine, he killed all the rest of Gideon's sons, all except one, and because he wanted to be king. And so he actually did end up being some kind of a king. I'm not exactly sure if it was, you know, what his office was, but he was a leader. And then one of his brothers, one of Gideon's other sons, would have been a half-brother, challenged him on top of a mountain because he escaped. In other words, Gideon was going to kill all of his brothers, and then but one escaped, and he challenged him from a mountaintop, you know, from a safe distance. So then this son became king or leader, and it only lasted a few short years because someone came and avenged him for murdering his brothers. But it's the reason I'm pointing that out is it does appear that, to me, that's sort of a sad commentary in the end of Gideon's life. And I have wondered already what the solution is to that. In other words, there's a definite need here for a leader to step up and deliver Israel from their, not only their dilemma, but also their compromise. And so Gideon steps in there, the Lord uses him mightily, and he responds and is used mightily of the Lord. But then, you know, obviously there's quite a heartache there in the next generation. Basically, you know, the way it appears that all of his sons would have been killed in the end, except that one that escaped. I'm not sure what his outcome was, but basically the one that killed all the rest was then later killed a few years later. So there's only evidence of one that, you know, lived a whole lot longer than a few years after Gideon died. And so the thing that I have been just observing here is just the need for humility and the need to give God the glory. It seems like what Gideon wanted is some kind of recognition here. And so I was noticing the same thing. We had went for a trip out west here a few weeks ago, and I started noticing the same thing in America here. I was not aware of it, but out in the Dakotas, South Dakota there, where they have Mount Rushmore there, where they have the president's heads. As we visited that, I became a little curious why they did that. And here I learned that the reason they did that is they saw that nations rise and fall. In other words, you don't have to study history long to realize that nations rise and fall. And here there was this group of people that realized that America is a great nation. You know, sometime in the early 1900s, when just before the World Wars, that things were very, it was just for the Depression as well, and things were very prosperous, and America had just gotten through laying down the railroads and a lot of the things that made our nation grow in those years. And America was at that point obviously a world empire, or it was, you know, a leading empire. And they started noticing that there was other empires throughout history that had then later fallen. And America wanted to have some kind of a statue or a memorial that people will not forget America in the future. And so that's why they carved out these four presidents' heads out of granite rock. They found this granite rock in the Black Hills of South Dakota and figured it's a good place to carve in these presidents' heads. And their goal was that for thousands and thousands of years to come, that people would, that these presidents' faces would be there in the mountains, and that people would not, that America could be remembered and not forgotten. And it didn't take me long to realize when I was there that the spirit of that place was strong, lifting up America, lifting up what it has accomplished. And, you know, to me, I could not find any evidence of giving God any glory. And to me, it was it almost gave you a feeling of doom, because obviously throughout history, when people rose up in pride and would not give God the glory, there's a lot of stories, you know, or examples of people like that God later humbled them. And so it does seem the importance, I have been just realizing how few people like Gideon exist in this world. But then it seems like those that do face that temptation. And so it's been just a observation that the importance of continually realizing that everything that comes out of our lives, everything that our in our mouth, in our ears, eyes, whatever comes out of our life that is of any importance or of any significance, that we realize that it is God working in us. It is not in and of ourselves. It is God's glory. He's the one who created us. He's the one who gives us life. He holds us together. You know, would Jesus Christ leave us for even half a minute, we would be dead, you know. So that's one way to look at it that would keep us from wanting to gravitate towards wanting people to recognize us, you know. And I believe that was one of Gideon's downfalls there, after the great victory, collecting the gold and making an ephod. He wanted some kind of a memorial, some kind of a statue that people would remember him, and rather than giving all that glory to God, because that was the very purpose that God was after. In taking down the army, in other words, in screening out all those men and taking Gideon's army down to almost nothing, to where the ratio of him against the Midianites was like 400 and something to one. And so that was the whole purpose, is that God wanted man to see that it's not man that fights the battles, it's God. It's the power of God working in man that fights the battles of life. And obviously then Gideon was tempted there to claim some of that glory and ended up with a lot of heartache in his family in later years. These things are written for our edification. And just find it a blessing to have these stories preserved for us to learn from.